Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. You are watching and listening to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. A big shout out to all of our listeners around the nation, around the world. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
You know, we talked about in our earlier programs. We have four programs back to back. Don't miss them. If you miss one, you can catch them all at VFNTV.com or on the app, or find out where we're broadcasting in your city and in your region. But we're talked about, you know, what's taking place with Nelson Mandela, the memorial today. You can see it live. Go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and you can watch it live, you know, what's taking place there. Some pretty wild things are going on. We're going to be talking about our Homeland Security right now. One of the senior advisors of the Homeland Security is saying that he believes now that America is an Islamic nation. This is a guy watching out for us. Mm. And, you know, what does that mean? And we're going to talk about that. And as well as, I don't know if we get a chance to go to it, but Pastor Saeed's wife, who's in prison right now, mm-hmm. in Iran, being treated horrifically and doing not well in his health. And I encourage you, as we did earlier, to pray for him, stand with him. Go to ACLUJ.org or go to VFNTV.com and click on links and find their link and stand up for Jesus in jail. Mm-hmm. And he says, when I was in prison, you visited me. But she's going to testify today before Congress. And we just pray right now, dear God, yes, touch their hearts, yes, help them to stand up and stand up for Christians being oppressed around the world, people being oppressed around the world, and to stand up for it. Also, may not get a chance, but I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, you know, to go to CBN today, go to CBN News and find out about the online university that begins to confront anti-Israel bias that's going on. They're beginning to educate. It's so beautiful. We're hoping towards the end of this this year, we're going to be able to have some programs to help edify you in your perspective of how beautiful and blessed Israel is. And this is a university that's being set up now to be able to educate the world on anti-Israel bias and, you know, what's going on and where did that come from. And, you know, part of healing me is understanding me. But I believe it's called JerusalemOnlineU.com. But you're going to be able to find that. You go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. You'll be able to find that and go directly to it. And also you'll be able to see a video there if we don't get a chance to it today to be able to see what it's all about. But get educated. We got to bring our head out of the sand of denial and lethargicness and say, you know what? I want to learn because God said this. This is what God's word said. That his people, think about it, his people, not just anybody, but his people, they perish. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. And it's like, well, then no longer lack it.
Right.
That's why if you take the time just to listen to VFN Radio and watch VFN TV every day, just every day. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live for 2 hours of that. Go into the VFN Torch. Understand, we spend endless hours spending time with God, getting a biblical perspective by looking at what the events that are taking place in the world to find out, you know, to be educated on it, to be inspired from God's word, but also to be activated. How do we respond to this? And you can learn by listening. You can learn by watching. And we learn out loud. And so far, it's amazing. God speaks in the midst of that. And we're going to be speaking today about the prophetic words that we're hearing right now since we last began to speak about some recent words that God was speaking about 60 years. 60 years that had taken place that it takes 60 years for those that are planning terrorist attacks and doing them. It takes 60 years to be able for them to be successful, type thing. Mm-hmm. And so, what did God mean by that when he told me that in a dream? What was happening? And I'm going to begin to reveal that. And through a young man named Isaiah, God speaks and confirms specifically about that, and hopefully we'll make that available too. We have an audio of him sharing what God said to him as well. And this is going to be rough. You got to pay attention. You know, it's amazing that people, you can talk to folks and they look at you. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't have a clue what they're thinking, but they're not even listening to you. And they're just thinking, well, I'd rather have them talking at me than not talking to me at all, but they're not listening to what you're saying. They're not following you. They're not following God. But yet they just, no, tell me more, but they're not going to do what you're saying. And it's like, you know, it's not going to end well for you. It's not going to end well for you because you're choosing your own direction. You know, you're choosing your own way when God is saying, this is the way it should go. And the sad, this is the wildest thing. Wild meaning in our own finite minds trying to really grasp things is God waits for people. Mm-hmm. He waits for people and depends on people to act right. And to do. Mm-hmm. And you think, do you really want to depend on human beings? I mean, think about Nineveh weighed in the balance. The Ninevites weighed in the balance on one man's struggle to obey God. Mm-hmm. One man. An entire city, a great city, the Word of God said. Either it was bound for destruction, but that was not what God wanted for it. But that's what He intended for if they didn't change. Mm. And He already had a due date when that was going to happen. And there's this one man that struggled. Well, I don't know, and I don't like Ninevites, and besides, I don't feel like that's my call, and I don't like being told what to do, and you know, all this whatever. Mm-hmm. But it depended on one man, Pat.
That's amazing.
One man had an attitude with God. He actually thought it was about him and it was about God. It wasn't mm-hmm. about Nineveh and it wasn't about Jonah. It was about God. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, Jonah's going to start sharing his opinion. You know, well, I think. And God's going like, excuse me.
I didn't ask you to think.
Excuse me, Jonah. You know? And so, and he begins to explain how evil they are. And his concern was, because he knew how good God was, that God was going to forgive them, God was going to restore them, and God was going to bless them. And he mm-hmm. wanted them wiped off the face mm-hmm. of the map. And be careful when you hear these folks saying, do away with them, destroy them. It's like, you don't know God. Mm-hmm. God is quick to forgive, and you could be left behind in a fire of unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness and not end well in your life because you thought it was about you. I'm offended. Go study Nelson Mandela and get over it. Because if anybody should be offended, it should have been Nelson Mandela. And he walked out unoffended. He walked out with forgiveness. He walked out with mercy. And he united a nation. And the whole world is honoring him this week. So, you come on. Mm-hmm. So, all of the city weighed in the balance because of one man's struggle. Is he going to obey God or not? I mean, I'm sure he called it a righteous struggle because he talked about somebody else's sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Nineveh. Look at their sin. Look how bad they are. It's like, did I ask you your opinion, Jonah? And this is what God says. It's a powerful thing. You got to understand how good our God is. God loves you. If Jonah has had a conversation with you before he actually started doing what he's supposed to be doing, you probably didn't like it. But don't judge the future, your future in God based off Jonah's first conversation with you. If you happen to be on the boat before he was in the well, don't listen to that. Redefine yourself based off what he's going to tell you later on. But this is what the creator of the universe said. He said this. He said, do you think I'm not concerned about such a great nation? They don't even know their left hand from their right. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And here you are getting all over these folks or this person, and they haven't had the upbringing that you've had. They don't know what you know. And you're judging them based off what you know. And the truth is you don't know nothing if that's how you're acting. And you're saying that God doesn't love that person or love that city. And that's not true. He does. And he says, and so he was concerned about this city that was doing these evil things. He was concerned about it. He wanted to save the city. But one man's struggle with obedience, one man putting himself in the equation, one woman, one man going, well, I don't feel like it. And I don't want to. And I don't think this. And it's going to get in the way of my job. It's going to get in the way of my marriage. It's going to get in the way of my children. It's going to get in the way of my parents. What I want in life. My vacation, whatever. And it's like, man, that whole city is about to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. America right now is on the edge of ending as we know it. I mean, it's still going to be here. But as we know it, it's on the edge of ending. And we have so many individuals. I mean, it's repulsive to me. I mean, it's like, do you... You think I have, you know, I'm so naive. I just was always naive. I mean, I was just naive. I can't believe it. It's like, haven't we been singing and preaching and reading the word together? It's like, don't you care? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, not really, you know. Right? You don't. Oh my goodness, I thought you believed what you preached. And don't you love them folks you talked about? I love you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Anyway, so they, in the context of that, this one man, this whole city weighed in the balance. Right now, America weighs in the balance and is waiting for you, Jonah, you, Mr. Jonah, Mrs. Jonah, to stand up and do what God's called you to do. He told you what to do, and he's told you, and he's told you, and he's been patient with you, and you've gone through these experiences, you've gone through struggles, you keep running from what God's called you to do. And you're thinking about you and what you want, and you don't like those folks, and you don't want this to happen. And God's going, I don't care about you right now. I'm talking about the people that are about to be destroyed, because once to die, then the judgment. Understand, they need to be given a chance to repent. I'm not saying that they will, but at least preach the truth to them, Jonah. At least preach the truth to them. So Jonah, all of a sudden, America starts rocking and rolling like a ship on a rough ocean. All of a sudden, the very country that Jonah's in, the very ship that he's in, hits rough seas. And it starts going all over the place. And he knows. I mean, he knows. He's thinking the whole time, this is all happening because I didn't do what God said. You know, these guys are suffering. How many people are suffering, Jonah? Mrs. Jonah, Mr. Jonah, how many people suffer? Do you even connect with the fact that people are suffering on the ship called America because you won't do what God told you to do? How many people are suffering? Do you understand that the boat in America is rocking because the church, the people God has called to bring the good news and the gospel and the love of God to this nation? I don't care if they don't know their right hand from their left. Understand, God loves Americans. God loves the people in this world. And imagine America being a ship and it's being tossed and turned, and they're saying, hey, print some more money. Let's just make new laws. Let's forget this. Let's do that. Maybe this will help. Maybe that'll help. And they're throwing all these things overboard trying to save America. And you, Jonah, talk about your vacation. You, Jonah, talk about expanding your house and making it bigger. You, Jonah, want to be able to have your frills in life and your me time. Why, the whole ship's going down. And finally, when these guys are praying on this America, the ship called USS America, they said, is it your God? Is he angry with us? And you know what Jonah's saying in America right now? Let me tell you what all the Jonahs are saying. The 50 Jonahs in 50 states, the 3,600 Jonahs in 3,600 counties are saying, they're going, yes, you're the reason why the boat's rocking. You're the reason why. It's your darkness. It's your sin. Mm-hmm. That's what Jonah's saying right now in America. Yeah. No, that's not what Jonah said on this boat. This is what Jonah said. He said, the reason why your life is rocking is because of my rebellion to God. You see, God loves these people that I don't love. And he wants me to go tell them that. And he wants me to tell them what they're doing is wrong, but he'll forgive them. And he'll restore them, and he won't bring destruction on them. But I don't like them. I don't want them to be saved. And you're suffering right now in America because I won't go to them and tell them that he loves them and will forgive them. And I don't think you'll hear Americans say this. So then he says, throw me overboard. Instead of throwing everything else, throwing the economy overboard, throwing our founding fathers overboard, throwing our Constitution overboard, throwing our Declaration of Independence overboard, throwing our school system overboard, throwing our legislature overboard, throwing our judicial branch overboard. Everything's being thrown over. And Jonah, you just keep blaming everybody instead of you because you won't go tell them. You're getting madder at them and more angry, and you got venom coming out of your mouth towards the Ninevites, And God's going, no, tell them I love them. Tell them destruction is coming, but I love them and I don't want it to come. And if they will repent, I will turn and I'll bless them. Even Nineveh, I'll bless. And so Jonah says, throw me overboard. It'll stop all this. Throw me overboard. And so when they throw him overboard, America settles down. And so he thinks, well, this is it. And all of a sudden, the whale swallows Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale. When I get back, I want to talk to you about, this is you, Jonah. Next time you get in front of a mirror today, look in your car mirror, look in any mirror, look in your phone mirror, and say, I am Jonah. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Date night on a dime. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. When you're scheduling that next date with your spouse, Jill Savage says your goal should be connection, not spending a lot.
You know, it doesn't have to cost money. It just means that you are intentionally spending time together, just the two of you. We love to go to a local bookstore, and we have an old house that we live in, a 100-year-old farmhouse, and we're always renovating something. And so we look at old house books together, and we dream and laugh and kind of say, oh, that would be a great idea to do in our house. And then we close the book, put it back on the shelf, and go back home. And we've had a date, and it hasn't cost us an arm and a leg.
Meaningful, inexpensive dates, something Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin have written about in their book, Take the Date Night Challenge, 52 Creative Ideas to Make Your Marriage Fun. You can find it and more trusted relationship advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa! I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, wish everybody a Merry Christmas out there and a blessing time during this. We're focusing on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, celebrating his birth. What an awesome day that our Lord, our God, sent his son to be born as we are. Walk as a man, all God, all man. Salvation of all mankind who turn to him and make him the Lord of their life. We're talking about America, a ship under great turmoil. The ropes are cut. She's sinking. She's going through rough places. And Jonah is on board. There's got to be at least a Jonah in every state. Somebody that God said, go tell them. But you're bringing up, oh, you know, I got my job. I got my job. You know, my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got my family. I got my comfort. And I got my convenience.
Yeah.
And besides, they're Ninevites. And I don't like them. And I can't believe that you like them, God. Right? That's pretty much what Jonah was saying.
Yeah, exactly what he said.
And so what Jonah was doing, Jonah was prejudging the Ninevites. He put them in two categories, it looks like. One category was they don't deserve the blessing of God like Jonah does.
Mm.
Secondly, that they're not going to respond anyway. I mean, think they're this evil nation to the point that God was going to destroy, I mean, city. God was going to destroy the city because they were so evil and they were doing so many bad things. And you can only imagine, it's, you know, welcome to, you know, darkness. And so how many people look at people walking in darkness under dark oppression, dark environments and all, and they prejudge them. I'm not going to preach them the love of God because they're not going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you to withhold the love of God? Who are you to withhold the truth that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life? Jonah, who are you to be able to prejudge someone? It's not for you. You just tell them. And imagine, just like Jonah was on this ship, America is just rocking and rolling, 45-degree rolls, everything's shaking and quaking, but you're like, where's Jonah? Hello? Are you anywhere to be found? Josiah, Jonah, where are you? Busy about my things. And so they throw him overboard. I mean, think about this. If you're not going to do something, Jonah, they might as well just chunk you in the Gulf or chunk you in the Atlantic, chunk you in the Pacific or in Lake Erie, whatever. I mean, come on. Maybe there's a well to bring you, you know, around to the right place. And so when they throw him overboard, he's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh. He's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh. And I got to be honest with you, and not in regards to people, but it gets to a time in your place, in your life, you're just thinking, like, I've preached and I've taught, and it just seems to be unresponsive. And it's just like, you know, please, isn't there some other, you know, can you just, like Jerry Clower said when he was wrestling with some animal, I can't remember what kind of animal it was. And some guy said, he said, just shoot it. And he goes, I'm scared I might shoot you. And he goes, just shoot up amongst us. We need some relief in here, you know.
Right.
That that Jonah was prejudging the Ninevites. That one is they didn't deserve God's blessing. Secondly, is they were not going to repent. How could somebody so evil do what's right? Have you looked in the mirror lately? That's us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's forgiven us and he'll forgive us if we repent. We are them outside of him. That's who he saved us from. And so here he does. He goes to Nineveh. He goes to America. He goes to his county, his city, his state, his region. And he begins to tell them, listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. The direction that we're going is leaving God. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to turn back to God. He begins to preach preach what God is saying. This is not good. And it's bigger than he can cover in the time frame he needs to cover it. So God has a due date for their destruction. There's a due date for the destruction of Nineveh. And I feel like in my heart, for America as we know it, there's a due date for us to be transformed as we know it if we don't wake up. And this is what God did. God delayed the due date of the disaster that would destroy Nineveh to give Jonah time to make it to everyone. To give you time to pick up VFN radio, VFN TV in your city. To give you time to sponsor us, to go into a new area, to tell every single day. We're live every single day, talking every day about what God is saying. What are you doing? Giving you time to quit spending everything on yourself. And he delayed. He gave him more time because he needed more time to physically go through this large city to tell everyone. And once he told everyone, you know, that you can imagine Jonah's response would be, you know, other than the responses he's seeing right away, he's like, well, okay, I've finished my job. I'm out of here. But you know what? To his amazement, to his surprise, and God's knowing, because he knows all things,
mm-hmm.
Nineveh's leader which would be the king, the evil king, right? Mm-hmm. All the way down to all of his folks, heard, God confirmed the word, their hearts were broken, they felt bad for what they've done, they fasted, they turned away from food. I mean, even their cows, they went and shoved muzzles over their cows so their cows couldn't eat. Listen, this is serious. Listen to God and the whole nation, the whole, not whole nation, but the whole city turned. And God stopped the plans that was intended for it. But it took Jonah. It took the whinier Jonah to go do what God had told him or her to do. How many people today are in turmoil seas because you won't do what God's told you to do? I couldn't imagine facing God looking at Nineveh burning in hell because you judge them yourself. I think there's a special place for those folks who decide to send people to hell because they refuse to obey God. I mean, think about it. Yeah. That's a huge thing.
That's huge.
Somebody that Jesus died for, you judged and threw down the gavel for, and you didn't even care that they go to hell. You didn't even do what he told you to do. Thank God Jonah went. Jonah went, they repented, God relented, it changed. And when he was finished ministering there, he still had the same attitude because he's sitting outside the city and complaining about it's hot. Let me tell you something. It's time for us to lay down our life, pick up our cross, Jonah, and do what God has called us to do. He's told you to do it. It's time to do it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these, like, these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said,
And of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. He said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to give a big shout out and a hello to all of our Christian Television Network audience. You're listening and watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and Christian Television Network. Got so many things to be able to share with you. Pat's joining me today.
Hello.
We have four programs back to back, and we're in our last of four. Make sure you catch them. If you miss them, you can watch them and see them, listen to them and, at VFNTV.com, on the app, and so many different ways to be able to do that. Today and this week and the next 10 days, I believe it is, you know, having a memorial for President Nelson Mandela. And you would have been really proud of our president, President Barack Obama, and other presidents that went to represent America, to be there for such an amazing man. And it just puts things into perspective. And if you haven't heard today's program, all of you need to hear the four programs back to back, because I am Jonah. It's important. We're going to need to rise up and understand this. God has a plan for this earth. He has a plan for your neighbor. He has a plan for the people in your country. And we have to just submit to his plan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not for us to determine what God's going to do. And amazingly, God relies on folks, and sometimes he just says, I mean, he's done this, that because one entire generation will not listen to him and they want to do their own thing, he just waits for that generation to die off, mm-hmm. to die off, to use the next generation. And I sure wouldn't want to be the generation that had to die off just so the next one could come in.
Right.
And this is what happened to Israel, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who didn't die off were Joshua and Caleb, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even Moses is like, it's like, well, no, it's right. Yeah, okay. So in the context of that, here we are today, and there is hope. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you, first of all, there's hope because of what's happening, what we're talking about and celebrating, focusing on this season, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what, you know, that's when the angels shouted, hallelujah, you know, glory to God in the highest, peace to all men, joy, because the light of the world had, the light of the God had come into the world, and there was like, you're going to be saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, the salvation of God has shown up. And we just celebrate Jesus, and it's an exciting time. And that's the ultimate hope. And the second hope in that is the fact that what he does through his church and what he does in a nation and in a people around the world, and that he's raising up a people. He's raising up a people who hear his voice. And if you haven't yet, you've got to hear, you got to go to iabide.org and begin to abide with God. You can hear, Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence. You can hear Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries. You can hear Francis Chan with Multiply Ministries. You can hear Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham, and talk about it. What they're talking about is this: abide. Mm-hmm. Abide. And if you will abide, then you are with God, and this is, you can find out more about it at iabide.org. We have a simple plan with you. With Jesus, Jesus will just do things in your life you never thought possible. He'll empower you to be able to do those things, and he will even use you in your life to invest the talents, whatever that is that he gave you. And he expects that from you, by the way. Whatever he gave you, if it's just two things, he expects you to use it. If it's 400 things and you're only using 20 of them, you're in trouble, because he expects you to use all 400 things. Now, with me and my one talent, you know, I'm working it hard. But Patton is multiple talents over here. You know what I'm saying? You got to get busy, man. You got to get busy.
Right.
I'm working it. I got a stick in my office that Jack Hollis, a brother in Lord of mine over in Marianna, Florida, who I love dearly, his wife, Shelley, that he preached on, I can't think of his name right now, the particular shepherd. But he killed like 6,000 of the enemy with an ox goad. 6,000.
Wow.
And when he taught that years ago, he had a stick that he carved out, you know, mm-hmm. with a goat. And a goat is just a stick with a pointy thing at it that you mm-hmm. poke. And he used what he had. And over a period of time, he took what he had, just like David took the slingshot and the rock, mm-hmm. and served God with it and defended Israel with it. And you should not have one talent left when you leave this earth. When they're putting your body into that hole in the ground, lest the Lord come back while you are still here. Mm-hmm. This is what you want to be said of you. Because I mean, rest assured, I mean, it's very few people they say anything as amazing. It's like, open that thing back up again. Is this the person to anyway? But in regards to the heaven and the cloud of witnesses, let this be said of you, is like, dude, he had nothing left. Mm-hmm. There was not one ounce of anything left. I mean, this is what Paul said. He said, I've been poured out like a drink offering. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool to have not reserve any? I mean, how many people are just reserving? It's like, what are you holding back for?
Right.
Just dive in.
All right.
I mean,
just die already.
Yeah, die already. Yeah. Yeah, the being around me is like drinking from a fire hydrant, right?
Yeah, hang on.
But it's like, is there any other speed? It's like, come on, this is it. It's going to end. It's going to end. You know, being with Steve Hill is like drinking from a fire hydrant, right?
Yeah.
You know, being around those who just say, you know, we're living for eternity. Somebody says, that doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't make sense, but it's true. You know, standing up for God. And if you missed the earlier program today, you got to get, you know, to hear about Jonah and understand so many people are going through rough situations right now and their boat is rocking because you won't do what God's called you to do. And right now, one of those things that's taking place is CBN News is reporting on this, that one of the members of the Homeland Security Advisory Council tweeted on his Twitter account. That's where, for those that don't know what that is, it's sort of like texting, putting something on your Facebook. It's like mailing a letter to 500 million people at one time, the world. And he says in his tweet, he said, I do consider the United States an Islamic country. Think about that. And you understand, if you, there's a related article we're going to have with this called Muslim Brotherhood 101. Because in that, you're going to see right here how in his, when he put his picture up on his Twitter account, he had the hand symbol, which represents the four pillars of the Muslim, not of Islam, but pillars of Muslim Brotherhood in Islam, which are, you can find out what they are. But one of them is dying in the name of their God. You know, to actually do something, and it costs your life to be able to do that. And I want you to listen to CB News reporting this. This is amazing how this ship is rocking and what's taking place. Jonah, we need to do something.
This provocative statement created a firestorm last month because of its contents and the author's government role. I do consider the United States an Islamic country with an Islamically compliant constitution. The tweet by Mohammed El-Ibiari raised eyebrows thanks to his senior role on the Department of Homeland Security Advisory Council, where he helps craft America's counterterrorism policies. It's a position one analyst says El-Ibiari is not fit to hold.
He goes to bat for the Muslim Brotherhood. He is passionate that they are the moderate good guys that the U.S. needs to ally with.
Ryan Morrow is a national security analyst for the Clarion Project. He's interviewed El-Ibiari at length and says the senior Homeland Security advisor staunchly supports the radical Muslim Brotherhood.
He had the symbol that was most closely associated with the Muslim Brotherhood from when the Egyptian military cracked down on them. All the Muslim Brotherhood supporters had a specific sign that they put up on their Twitter and their Facebook pages, and he was right along with them.
El-Ibiari has praised Muslim Brotherhood icon and Al-Qaeda favorite Saeed Qutb, and spoke at a 2004 event honoring Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini. In addition, CBN News reported in 2011 that El-Ibiari stood accused of leaking sensitive government documents to the media. In light of those charges, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert pressed former Homeland Security Chief Janet Napolitano in a heated exchange.
Are you saying before this Congress right now that as Secretary of Homeland Security, that it is a lie that Mohammed El-Ibiari downloaded material from a classified website using the secret security clearance you gave him? Are you saying that's a lie?
I'm saying that is inaccurate. That is correct. He, as far as I know, did not download classified documents. What bothers me, quite frankly, are the allegations that are made against anyone who happens to be Muslim.
Well, the allegations are not because he is Muslim.
It is still unclear whether any formal investigation of El-Ibiari actually took place at DHS. What is clear is El-Ibiari's recent promotion at the department.
In September 2013, he was promoted. So he not only is an official advisor, he's one of the select advisors within that group to influence policy.
El-Ibiari and the Department of Homeland Security did not respond to CBN's request for comment. El-Ibiari is not the only Obama administration advisor who's been tied to the Muslim Brotherhood.
There's lots of evidence. The President of the United States personally takes counsel from Mohammed Majid, and that means the enemy is inside the wire.
Majid has reportedly met with President Obama to advise him on immigration and counterterrorism policy. He also sits on a Department of Homeland Security working group on, quote, violent extremism. Yet national security expert Frank Gaffney told CBN News that the organization Majid leads has troublesome ties.
He is the president of the largest Muslim Brotherhood front organization in the United States, the Islamic Society of North America.
In 2007, federal prosecutors named ISNA as an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorism financing trial in American history. The defendants were convicted of funding the terror group Hamas. Majid's group was also mentioned in secret Muslim Brotherhood documents uncovered by the FBI.
The very first group on this Muslim Brotherhood strategic plan was the Islamic Society of North America.
Despite ISNA's radical track record, President Obama delivered a video address at the group's annual summit this year.
Assalamu alaikum, and congratulations to Imam Majid and everyone at the Islamic Society of North America on your 50th annual convention.
One leading Egyptian newspaper recently claimed that the Brotherhood is stepping up its efforts to infiltrate the United States. It identified what it says are 30 Brotherhood operatives that are currently conducting influence operations on U.S. soil.
Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, Washington.
This is amazing. And you know, two perspectives. Is one is, you know, the biblical perspective for us is that Jonah, the boat is rocking. We're throwing over our founding father's intentions that this is a Christian nation that's being thrown overboard. And somebody says, well, we need to have a logical battle then in regards to this. And, you know, let's just theorize about why it's being thrown over instead of saying, well, potentially it's being thrown over because we have turned our backs on God. And it's not for us to kind of theoretically figure out how to have a non-Islamic government type situation. It's how to be right before God, how to be right before the Lord, how he's called us to be as a people, to be Jonah, go tell people God loves them and God's got a plan for their life and God will forgive them and he'll stop this storm that is brewing, that God intends if we do not turn back to him. If we do not turn back to him, and you think about, so the Muslim Brotherhood, what is that? Well, when you see these four fingers being held up, you have to hear this. When you hear see these four fingers, understand you're about to hear 101 right here. It is 3.5 minutes, but you can watch this on Christian Television Right Now Network. You're about to see this, but you're also going to see it if you're listening on radio after this break. You're going to see what these four fingers represent. What does the Muslim Brotherhood stand for? And why did we empower this in the Middle East? And why is, now you see why Egyptians are upset with us for doing that. And why are we putting them in our homeland security? Mm-hmm. And it's because, Jonah, you know, we got to go tell folks that God loves them. We got to leave our own life of sin and quit trying to preach some government and start preaching the government of God, the kingdom of God. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Now they'll have the ability to track every purchase, every sale, every, you know, where you're at, facial recognition. But the good thing about me is that my weight varies so much, they won't even, the thing like, this could be him, but his face is differently shaped now than it was before. You know, it's the turkey.
Yeah. Can you imagine a society with the facial recognition? They sell these, I saw them in the store, I guess they had them for a while because it's wintertime, but those ski masks that cover just your eyeballs, just your eyes. They have a whole society
just
wearing
cover the eyes?
Well, No, I'm sorry. There's an opening just for the eyes. Okay. Are you trying to get back with the K-on? Is that
just trying to help you.
All right.
K-on-isms.
It's K-on-isms. Yeah. Anyway, there's a whole opening just for the eyes that your whole face is completely covered. And you think, my
The whole face?
Yeah, except for your ability to see.
Oh, a mask.
A mask, yeah. Ski mask.
A mask.
Whatever.
We call those masks.
A mask. Okay. Whatever. Yeah,
ski mask. Something like that.
The point here. The point here that I'm trying to make.
Is there a point?
Is there a point?
There's a point. It's coming.
Point.
You ready?
Too much K on.
All that surveillance and facial recognition. You have a whole society walking around with all these masks. It's like.
Well, they have a law now. They have a law right now that you cannot wear masks in certain areas.
Really?
Like when I was going, I had a mask on today. I was walking in the bank. I had a mask on.
Someone politely escorted you.
Nobody greeted me. Like, no, I'm messing with you. They have a law that says you can't walk into a bank with a mask on.
Yeah. I think that's a good law.
Do you? Well, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, hey, I think it's you should never have a mask on. They're going to think it's a great law.
Yeah.
You know what that means in the North? It means your nose is going to freeze, your ears are going to fall
off,
and your lips are going to be split in 15 locations because you're not going to. The cold wind's going to be hitting you, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's different. I mean, obviously, down south they don't worry too much about. You know, if somebody's wearing a mask down south,
you're in trouble.
Something is up.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I?"
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas out there to all of our listeners and viewers across the nation. The Christian Television Network audience listening and watching VFN Radio on VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat. We're talking about... We have an advisor on the Homeland Security, a senior advisor who just got promoted, with the Homeland Security, September 2013, he got promoted. And he has on his Twitter account that he is a proud member, the symbol of these four fingers being held up, which means that is the symbol for the four commitments of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does this mean? It could mean nothing. Hey, it could be a great brotherhood. It could be something totally, you know, you can't just automatically assume what it is. So we have right now for you Muslim Brotherhood 101. Understand who we have under Homeland Security. Understand who the Secretary of Homeland Security, she just said that I don't recall him downloading all of our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, aren't y'all the leaders here? Somebody needs to recall. You know what I'm saying? That's a safe word saying, like, anyway. And so here we are right now, so vulnerable, Jonah. None of us so, Jonah, listen to me. None of us so vulnerable. If you don't start preaching the gospel of love and forgiveness and God's plan and the reality that the storm is coming and destruction as we know it's coming, then it could cost God a great people, a great nation. Mm-hmm. And so listen up. What does it mean to be a part of the Muslim Brotherhood? What do these four fingers represent? Listen to Muslim Brotherhood 101. It's 3.5 minutes.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism. Yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad.
That is so amazing when you're looking at what's taking place right now, and this whole four fingers being held up and one thumb being brought down represents those five pillars of Islam, of Muslim Brotherhood, not Islam. And I wanted you to hear them again. That is a detail. And you can see that in detail again and again until you finally understand this is who is on our Homeland Security Senior Advisor who just got promoted in September 2013, according to CBN News. But I want you to see this right here. I don't know if you can see it, but this is what they're talking about in regards to, you know, the represents that. And when you're seeing this particular hand, and listen to this, what this represents. Let me say it again. It's what it stands for, the Muslim Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
You have to understand, he just got promoted. He just got promoted, and so we want to hear one more time. Listen to this. This is exactly who just got promoted in September 13th, and who says he believes now that America is an Islamic nation of the Muslim Brotherhood on our security of our country.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
There it is. So we're looking right now, church, we're looking right now, America. The reason why Congressman Michelle Bachmann said they removed all the references of this is that for some reason, the Muslim Brotherhood is seen as a friend. Why Egypt is offended with us, Egyptians are, that we even empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, Morsi, there. And somehow their president got put in prison for that to happen. And now on our own homeland security, we have the very people that have been outlawed again in Egypt and areas of the Middle East, we are empowering now in our own country for our homeland security. Jonah, it's time to go preach the good news of Jesus Christ and let people know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. It's time for us to rise up and be who God's called us to be.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.